nothing good ever happened in St. Juniper, Vermont. Okay, that might have been a little dramatic. Nothing good ever happened to me in St. Juniper. And if I'd had to bet on it, nothing ever would. Maybe I didn't have the authority to make a sweeping statement about a place I barely remembered. But hey, lack of common sense had never stopped me before. For years, St. Juniper had only existed inside my head as a sort of a fever dream. A tourist trap, nestled neatly between the Adirondacks and the Green Mountains. Seemingly staged for the sole purpose of producing exceptionally charming postcards. Everything about it felt suffocating, except for the vast forest and craggy peaks that formed a massive valley on the north side of town. I didn't remember much of anything else, but I didn't think it mattered. As far as I was concerned, the odds I'd ever go back to my hometown were near zero. But when the summer before my senior year came barreling into my life, the universe and the Vermont Department for Children and Families had other plans for me. One flight and two bus rides later, I was unceremoniously dumped back into a past I had spent the better part of 8 years trying to forget. I'd set my expectations comfortably low, but I did have one goal when I came back to St. Juniper. I wanted a fresh start. This was my last shot to get things right before I turned 18. I didn't want to mess things up with my newly assigned legal guardian before I had the chance to unpack the single trash bag full of belongings I'd salvaged from my cross-country foster care extravaganza of a childhood. But the second I stepped onto St. Juniper soil, I realized I was screwed. It was like if a picture book about colonial America and children of the corn had a baby. There was one elementary school, one high school, and one grocery store, all within walking distance of the town center, with its little brick sidewalks and candy-striped awnings. Every neighborhood was lined with white picket fences and 200-year-old oak trees that probably had more laws protecting them than I had protecting me. I was 80% convinced that the adults in St. Juniper had been beamed in by aliens or planted by the government, because I refused to believe that anyone would live here of their own free will. And then there was the gossip. I'd lived in enough small towns to know that my entire existence would become a public spectacle. But St. Juniper wasn't like other small towns. It was worse. I thought I'd be able to enjoy a few days of anonymity. But when I ventured out to Main Street for the first time after my move, I realized that everyone had already gotten the memo about me. The cashier at the corner store held the $20 bill I gave him up to the light. And the woman bagging my groceries leveled a scowl at me that said she already knew my entire life story. Anywhere else, dirty looks could have been about anything from the way I dressed to the color of my skin. It had never been a cakewalk, and I'd learned to shrug it off as best as I could. But in St. Juniper, it was impossible not to wonder if the woman with the salt and pepper hair bagging my groceries remembered me from when I was a kid, or if the clerk at Town Hall had known my mom before I came into the picture. Every sidelong, heavy with judgment glance carried the extra weight of possible recognition, or worse, pity. After only 2 weeks in town, my nerves had practically rubbed themselves raw. I felt trapped, and I found myself, not for the first, the 10th, or even the 100th time in my life, daydreaming about running away. But I wasn't thinking about some far-off city where nobody knew my name, or my face, or the people who had given both of them to me. I was thinking about the valley, because in the back of my mind, there was a persistent drumbeat telling me I would be safe in the woods, that something was out there to meet me on the other side.